So that when we come to the end of the first scene around the throne, there's a response. It is not, as Isaiah we said before, that this is where sometimes we might run to the throne of grace and we get help and we, you know, get supported. But here there's a response of worship. And brethren, never lose sight that in chapter 4 it highlights before us first the greatness of this person. He's the creator of all things. And for his pleasure, they were all created. But a word of how they worshipped. I think we're all very familiar, and we call it much even in our praise on Lord's Day morning, that we bring our alabasters before thee. The crowns that this company have received speaks of glory. There's no question, right? It's a crowns that they have received from a righteous judge. It's a crowns that they have received from the Lord as the rewarder. But when it came to response, they cast them before the throne. And when you think of casting them before the throne, you think of the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I would like to suggest this, brethren. This is what worship is all about. I'm always touched because sometimes when we talk about things, we might take it for granted that we're talking about brothers and intelligence and discernment and wow, all these things. But it really relates to sisters as well. I'm always reminded when I read this portion, I can't help it but think of Mary of Bethany. She had no crown, but she had her own glory. You see? It's the same way, same principle. She comes at the feet of Christ. She breaks the alabaster box. She brings her hair and she wipes his feet. The same act of these 24 elders. We don't have to wait the revelation to understand how we should worship. We can learn from a godly sister that all her glory was set at the feet of Christ. And brethren, when we come together, let's not speak of how wonderful we are. We have heard earlier, it's not about us, brethren. Believe it or not, it's not about us. It is about Christ. And when we come before Him, let's have the same discernment that these 24 elders had. That they were able to come and cast everything that relates to them and put it at His feet and make much of the Blessed One who sits upon the throne.
So that the judgment seat of Christ would have preceded this action. For it is at the judgment seat where works are assessed and crowns are dispensed. So now you're in the atmosphere of the one who sits on the throne and who is supreme, who the four elders acknowledge the greatness of his person in the holy, 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 as in contrast, you said, to Isaiah, where there was holy, holy, holy relation to Jehovah of hosts. It's what he is in regard to his people in Isaiah. But what he is here in Revelation is in regard to the greatness of his person. And this is recognized, and so the crowns that have been acquired are now deposited willingly at his feet because he has the supremacy.
I just want to follow up on something Brother John has said. It's in regards to the sisters. One of our favorite hymns that my family enjoys is hymn number 248, Thou, Thou Art Worthy Lord. And if you look to see who wrote this, it's a sister, Miss C.H. von Kossig, who wrote this hymn. And when you look at the hymn, it's saying, Thou, Thou Art Worthy Lord. There's nothing of me or I or anything like that in it. And when you listen to a lot of the music of today, even the so-called Christian music of today, a lot of it is all about I, Lord, I this, or me. But here the sister said, Thou, Thou art worthy, Lord, of most untiring praise. The whole focus is on the Lord. And here it is a sister who wrote this hymn. So sisters, God has a wonderful use for you. It's not just the brothers on the Lord's Day morning that can remember the Lord, but it's brothers and sisters together.
This expression, undoubtedly, Beryl, thou art worthy, or thou art worthy, it's the expression of one who is lost in wonder, love, and praise. There is no room whatsoever at all for the presence of human ingenuity. It's one who has completely been enveloped with the glory of the person. And that's what worship is. Worship is not thanksgiving. Worship is not just the idea of praise. Worship is the occupation of a heart with the greatness of the person.
And how wonderful to have this feature that what heaven has is 24 elders. It's not 24 men, it's elders. The sense of maturity. That the saints of God, once we reach heaven, we're not going to be immature. Trust me. We're going to be seen in heaven as these 24 elders who are mature enough to know the mind of heaven. And brethren, this feature should be seen amongst us presently. We always say, I don't have to wait for the millennium to enjoy it. I don't have to wait for heaven to give the Lord Jesus what is due to him. And we don't have to wait for heaven to be mature in the things of Christ. So may the Lord help us. As Beryl was reminding us, it's an exercise also of sisters. He touched on a very dear subject to me. Just think of our hymn book. 80 sisters known. I'm sure there are some that are unknown, and we don't know the name. But 80 sisters that are known have written hymns that one dares to say that the majority of these hymns are the ones we're familiar with. We are the ones that we call them out a lot. And they were under such a deep exercise because they took hold of this one who is the Creator and who is the Redeemer. So I'm wondering, brethren, if you can help us for the next half an hour to bring us into now the other side of the one that we see in Revelation, not only as the Creator, as we have been saying, but now we have one that is the Redeemer, and the song that he is worthy, for thou hast redeemed us. So I'm just wondering if we can be brought into chapter 5 and take it up from verse 6 on and just make much of this blessed one.
Can I just make a comment about the Creator? We had to go to a funeral service last year, and they passed out a paper and they read the famous Apostle Creed. It said, I believe in God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. No, it's wrong. God the Son is the maker of heaven and earth. All things are made by Him, for Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. Of course God the Father was there. Of course the Holy Spirit led us. But all creation is attributed to the Lord Jesus. Actually, Isaiah 50 says the Lord Jesus opened the Red Sea. The Lord Jesus opened the Jordan River. That's the Lord Jesus did that. So He is the Creator. And how wonderful. He's the Redeemer too. So how wonderful it is to be linked up with this lovely one who created the universe, created you and me, who redeemed us from our sin. Carry on, brother.